This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run. It's 7:06 in the morning on Friday, the 7th of January. I'm Shazana, together with Philip and Chuang. But in the meantime, let's recap how global markets closed yesterday.
Well, they continue to be crushed by concerns that the Federal Reserve is going to shrink its balance sheet and hike interest rates at the same time, faster than expected. So the Dow is down by half a percentage point. The S&P and NASDAQ down by 0.1%. And of course, that also followed Asia, which also hiccuped. The Nikkei was down by nearly 3%. The Shanghai Comp down 0.3%. Malaysia down nearly 1%. But Hang Seng and Hong Kong and Singapore were contrarians, rising slightly.
All right. So joining us on the line for analysis on what's moving markets, we have Carlos Casanova, senior economist with UBP. Good morning, Carlos. It's our first conversation of the year, so happy new year. Now, December's FOMC minutes revealed that the Fed was more hawkish on rate hikes and tapering than expected. And as a result, yields have jumped. Is this because markets are nervous that tapering and rate hikes may happen simultaneously?
Good morning and happy new year. We definitely saw a much more hawkish tone from the Fed. And that could mean that not only rate hikes could potentially happen sooner than expected, so that being March instead of June, but more importantly from the market, the Fed will start addressing the size of its balance sheet, shrinking its balance sheet, which of course would be one measure of draining global liquidity. And whenever that is the case, you see outflows from emerging markets. So following from the announcements of the Fed meeting minutes, we did see quite a lot of volatility in Asian markets as investors try to price in this risk going forward.
Carlos, does this seem incongruous to you that with inflation a really big concern, the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates, increasing the price of goods even more? Is that the right solution?
Well, they're increasing the price of money even more, hopefully, hoping that that will have, exert downside pressure on the price of goods. They are not increasing the price of goods per se, but if it becomes more expensive to invest and to take out money, and the cost of money increases, then people will be more judicious about how they spend, and inflation will go down, in theory, at least. In practice, of course, we know this time around the factors underpinning better inflation are to some extent supply side driven and also a result of disruption surrounding Omicron. So it's unclear if the normalization alone will have a significant impact on inflation. In fact, we do believe that inflation will remain high. Insofar as that base effect from last year continues, and we are seeing additional supply chain disruptions as a result of COVID in places such as China, but also in the US, so unlikely that they will have an immediate impact on inflation. Having said that, the conditions that the Fed set for removing policy accommodation after the pandemic, namely that inflation exceeded 2% for a significant period of time, and the unemployment market was in full employment, so below 5% for a significant period of time, those two conditions have been met, so they do have to do something about normalizing.
What is your sense of the market's expectation, around about 85% right now, for a rate hike in as early as March and as many as 6 by the end of this year, according to some surveys?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, 6 is a lot. Our baseline scenario prior to the meeting minutes was 2. Of course, 2 to 3, depending on what the policy communication would be at the March meeting. From the minutes, it seems like they are more keen to get going with tightening, perhaps because they are looking at the base effect in the second half of the year and worried about a potential correction in activity. So if they want to deliver some normalization, it should happen in the first half of the year. So March and June, and then see what happens after that. So I would say we're still looking at 3 rate hikes this year. More than 3 rate hikes would constitute a policy mistake, in my opinion, given that they are reacting to inflationary pressures. But the economy is not overheating because there's an excess in demand. It's overheating because there are supply-side disruptions.
I wonder if Jerome Powell is the central banker to the world, because I'm wondering whether there's going to be any pressure that Asian central banks will feel from all these Fed decisions.
Well, the good news is that it's happening as PBOC eases and while the ECB still maintains liquidity in the system. So that's the good news. The bad news is Asian central banks will be more constrained in their ability to deliver support because the Fed does account for such a large amount of global liquidity. And of course, US dollar is the world reserve currency. So we are kind of seeing a very clear a divergence here. We are seeing developed markets already tightening. Of course, Bank of Korea is leading that cycle with two rate hikes since August. But, you know, the Monetary Authority of Singapore tightened its monetary policy in October. Australia had to abandon its yield curve control target in November. And we expect that will continue to be the case as the Fed tightens. You know, Asian developed market central banks will have to continue tightening as a result. In the emerging space, however, Asian emerging market central banks have been more hesitant to tighten because emerging markets in Asia are still grappling with the impact of COVID. So ideally, they would want to remain on hold for as long as possible in 2022. Now, in a scenario where we have a reduction in the Fed's balance sheet, interest rate hike in March and another one in June, that situation will not be sustainable. And so central banks in emerging markets in Asia will have to hike even as they are still grappling with the aftermath of COVID-19. And of those central banks, we believe that the Philippines will be the first because they do have a negative real rate differential with the US. But also inflation has been dangerously close to the top of that 2 to 4% range that the BSP has set for the Philippines. So that would be, I think, the main emerging market central bank in the region to watch in terms of what the Fed meeting minutes mean for Asia.
Very quickly, Carlos, looking at oil prices, they're now largely hovering around the $70 to $80 a barrel range. At what price levels do you think policymakers in Asia will start getting worried?
Mm-hmm. Well, the good news is oil did correct a little bit overnight as people are a bit worried about the impact of Fed tapering. I think central banks don't have to worry until oil hits about $90 per barrel. And I think we're still a little bit far from that. Until that happens, most of the pressure, as I mentioned, will be on the supply chain front. So observing what happens to manufacturing over the coming months as a result of Omicron. That will be the main driver of inflation. But of course, if oil hits 90, you have to start worrying again.
Carlos, thanks very much for speaking to us this morning. That was Carlos Casanova, senior economist with UBP, talking to us about some of the trends that are going to be moving markets, especially the direction of Fed monetary policy. Some worrying thoughts in markets at the moment.
Yeah, markets have been getting crushed just a few days into the new year because there's so much concern that the Fed is shrinking its balance sheet and going to raise interest rates at the same time, which is the first time it's done that since at least 2009. And that's why every market around the world is just being crushed except for one or two. I think the US dollar is still holding strong. Carlos is saying that more than three rate hikes a year this year was going to be a policy misstep. Yesterday, we talked to Tony Nash. Tony Nash said rather than raise interest rates, which is, you know, in Congress because demand is a bit iffy, the supply considerations should be addressed instead, which, for example, like onshoring, suppliers, for example, could be one solution rather than raising interest rates.
Well, I think one of the biggest losers will be tech stocks.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.